Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you jump on board. Join in the dialogue and discussion as we talk about issues each and every day. May I remind you, the issues that we discuss fall into one of three categories: dealing with the home, which would be the family, government, or the church. Those are the three institutions that God created. God created the home, the family first. He created civil government next. He created the church next. And so, ladies and gentlemen, anything that adversely affects any one of these three institutions, we need to talk about, we need to discuss, and we need to look at it from a central biblicist worldview. What does the Bible say about what we see taking place in the world today? I've said numerous times that as we look at the events of the world, as we see what's happening, for example, in Turkey with the 7.8 Richter scale event, earthquake that took place, I believe as of the morning numbers, right at 20,000. I've said I believe it will hit probably 50,000 deaths as a result of that. But when we look at that, as horrific as it is, we need to understand that the Word of God tells us that these things will be taking place and on an intensifying basis in the last days. So it ought not to surprise us, though we're saddened by what we see from the human tragedy, but it ought not to surprise us because God's Word has already forewarned us that these things will happen. Secondly, when we look at what is taking place on a political level, on a national political level, we need to understand the reality of what is happening. For example, when Joe Biden, in his State of the Union address, urges Congress to restore the soul of this nation, what does he mean by that? Simply, as you look at his speech, ladies and gentlemen, he was saying we need to expand abortion, we need to expand transgenderism, we need to expand the government control over our lives, we need to expand the DOJ, the FBI, the CIA, the CDC, and the FDA. We need to expand these things. And what Joe Biden was saying in his total speech, we need to go to a total socialism, anti-capitalism, pro-communism system in America. And so, ladies and gentlemen, I am concerned when we see the political agenda seemingly traversing anything that would be called central biblicist worldview. As we look at things that are taking place, let me encourage you to look at it through the prism, the lens of what does the Bible say? Ladies and gentlemen, it's very, very clear in Psalms 146:3. Put not your trust in princes, that's talking about leaders, nor in the sons of man, in whom there is no help. And ladies and gentlemen, in Psalms 11, verse 3, the scripture is very, very clear when it says, if the foundation is to be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Have you ever asked that question? If the foundation is to be destroyed, and they're being destroyed today, what can the righteous do? Or what should the righteous do? What should we as conservatives, as Christians, as patriots do? I've said before, and may I say again, at the risk of redundancy, I believe we need to pray, we need to plan, and we need to participate in the process. We have dual citizenship as Christians. We're citizens of heaven, and we're citizens in our city, state, and nation. and as good citizens, we ought to participate in the plan that God's given us in civil government. And in civil government, God is the one that's ultimately in charge, not the elected political kingmakers as we find them feeling once they go into office. God created civil government for the purpose of prosecuting evil and protecting good. We found that totally upside down and reversed in the past several years. We find that the political agenda apparently is, I'm going to do it my way, and the Bible and God's Word and Christians and the church can take the highway. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe it's time as Christians we stand up, speak up, be heard, be visible, be vocal, and be victorious in the end. Now, listen very carefully. We're going to be talking about today election update, election updates. We talk about the election updates. Today, we're specifically focusing on the local and state leadership and offices that's available that will be in the election just about a month away. March the 21st will be the election. And I believe it's time Christians get off the couch, vet the candidates, and vote. Every vote does, in fact, count. But ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you, as we face the issues and we talk about election updates today, may I say to you that we do so based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. It's called the Bible, the truth book. Jesus, speaking to his disciples, said, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. John 8:31-32. Then in John 14:6, Jesus says, I am truth. And further, he states very boldly in John 17:17, thy word is truth. Ladies and gentlemen, it's the truth of the word of God that counts. Jerry Nadler, just a few months back, when they were pushing for the H.R. 5, the Sodomite Authorization Bill, Jerry Nadler, in response to a Christian conservative Republican reading from the Word of God about the Sodomite lifestyle and how it was antithetical to God's Word, Jerry Nadler screamed, the Bible has no authority in the halls of Congress. Ladies and gentlemen, that's frightening to me. I don't know about you. It's frightening to me. But it's the verbalization of what really is the truth behind the scenes with the Socialist Marxist BLM Communist Democratic Party and all that's attached thereto. This is the reason, ladies and gentlemen, I talk about truth and how valid it is and how valuable it is. I go back to the secularist George Orwell that made a powerful statement in his dystopian novel called 1984. Orwell said, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And I find that to be valuable information today. Because, ladies and gentlemen, today, when you speak the truth, even when you speak the truth in love, you have those that will oppose you on every hand. If you're speaking about theological, doctrinal, biblical issues, that is true. If you speak about political issues, that is true. When I say that is true, I'm talking about the truth is that there will be the attack and the hatred if you stand on truth. Then there are those that will talk about social, ethical, moral issues, biblical issues, political, military issues, etc. And yet those opposing the conservative Christian patriots' biblical viewpoint, there will be an opposition, verbal, vicious opposition, usually every time. Ladies and gentlemen, I think part of the problem is, as we have just discovered in a recent survey that was done, a poll that was issued, and it says, the headline, most younger Americans say there's no absolute truth. I don't know of anything that could be any further from the truth. In fact, in this review, it says, 55% of Americans, 18 to 35-year-old age group, we know them as the millennials, 55% of them say that each person determines their own version of truth. We find that to be so prevalent in society today, where there's a mindset, I've got my truth, you've got your truth, and our two truths are not. That's the problem that we find in Washington with the socialist Marxists on the left and with the conservative, supposed conservative Republicans on the right. The mindset is that you're not going to in any way change my mind, because I made up my mind, and my mind is the truth. Ladies and gentlemen, I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus says, faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. I challenge us each and every day on this broadcast to do that, defending the truth. We're going to be doing that in just a moment. After a few more moments, we're going to introduce our guest today, and we're going to talk about what I'm calling an election update. What's the latest news on some of the candidates? What's happening with the REC, the Republican Executive Committee? What's taking place with some of the so-called conservative candidates on the Republican side that's trying to eviscerate some of the other candidates because there's a fear that some of the other, or one of the other candidates, at least, seems to be causing a threat to that particular power broker's candidacy. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment leadership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own their own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of equipment for the homeowners with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the Honda generators. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about the power backup equipment. Tools for Time's knowledgeable staff can answer all of your questions about the landscape lawn care equipment for the homeowner as well as for the professional. Tools for Time, ladies and gentlemen, is located at 11291, that's 11291, Old St. Augustine Road, right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a gigantic flagpole with a huge flag, 165-foot flagpole on the campus of Tools for Time. Find that flag in the flagpole. The base of that flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. Ladies and gentlemen, there's some good news. Tools for Time is now hiring all positions: house and grounds maintenance, mechanics and technicians, inside and outside sales, customer service representatives, and much, much more. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time is a great place to work. It's a family-friendly, oriented environment that you're working in at Tools for Time. Tools for Time is closed on Sunday, allowing the entire family of Tools for Time to worship in the house of God with the family of God, as God's Word ordained it to be so. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time is closed on Sunday, so I'm inviting you, ladies and gentlemen, to drop by Tools for Time, make an application for employment, wait for an interview, see what God does, place you in the family of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, I've said many times before that, and I repeat, every vote counts. Every vote counts. But ladies and gentlemen, before that vote is cast, God, I believe, holds we the people responsible to vet the candidates and to vote for a candidate that most completely aligns with the Word of God and God's guide for elections. Ladies and gentlemen, the question is being asked, and I've heard it asked for many years, should Christians vote? Yes. Should believers be concerned about the election integrity? Absolutely, unequivocally, yes. Should Christians and churches and pastors be involved in the election process for those that we put in office? Absolutely, unequivocally, yes. So many today believe, that say they're Christians, that are believers, say that the politics are dirty, politics are corrupt, we just need to abandon the process. This is the reason, ladies and gentlemen, so many, in fact, in the 2020 election, I was told that some 40 million Christians didn't even vote. Some projected that in the 2022 election, there would be somewhere between 18 and 30 million that wouldn't vote. And I've not heard a statistical report after the 2022 elections as to how many did not. But I'm concerned with a vast number of Christians, believers, not voting. I believe it's time, ladies and gentlemen, that we understand that God created government as His servants, and as His servants, government is to protect the good and prosecute the evil. This is the reason, ladies and gentlemen, I'm delighted to see what Governor DeSantis is doing in the state of Florida. I don't know if you're aware of it or not, but there's an emergency legislative session taking place at this moment, and it is for the purpose of crafting legislation that will change what Disney World is doing in the state of Florida. The headline says, Florida legislature set to dissolve Disney special self-governing status. Ladies and gentlemen, according to the governor's office, the legislation will end Disney's self-governing status and impose a state control term limited board appointed by the governor to run what is now called the Reedy Creek Improvement District. The legislation would allow the state to tax Disney for possible road projects outside the district's boundaries. It would ensure Disney, not the taxpayers, pay $700 million in unsecured debt that Disney now has. It would keep control of the district out of the hands of what the governor calls, office calls, the leftist local government in Orange County, which it said had threatened to leverage the situation to raise local taxes. It would impose state law so that Disney could no longer receive preferential treatment. It would prevent Disney from gaining more land to buy eminent domain and create an avenue to compel Disney to contribute to the local infrastructure. And it goes on to talk about what took place in the past with that Reedy Creek Improvement District and what they're intending. And I commend the governor and I commend our legislators for doing that. That's been needed for years. That's been an operation with Disney basically being in control of what you would say would be commerce and industry in the state of Florida for some 50 years now. And it's time that we take back control of what we the people are paying taxes to do, and when we elect people to go into office to control for us. So, ladies and gentlemen, it's good when you have government that is operating the way God created government to operate. God gave us government, according to Romans chapter 13, verses 1 through 7, to protect the good and to prosecute the evil. Just a fast look at the national political scene, ladies and gentlemen, we find serious corruption. The Biden family cabal, the China spy balloon, the silence of Joe Biden about China, and at all points that the facts look like Joe Biden is in the hand, the pocket of China. I believe it's dangerous, ladies and gentlemen, for American sovereignty to see what's happening on a national level. I believe that we need to, as Christians, pray, be involved in, and watch what is taking place with this culture that we're watching of corruption from the political standpoint. It's my prayer that the current Congress will continue the deep dive into the FBI, the CIA, the DOJ, the CDC, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Because, ladies and gentlemen, according to a major, major report today, we're looking at the fact that the FBI and the CIA and the DOJ have carried out the largest censorship system in American history. In fact, the headline says Congress is set to expose what may be the largest censorship system in the United States history. So, ladies and gentlemen, I'm pointing to all of this to get to the trickle down of where we're going on discussing the local election and the update for what we are doing. We find that our governmental systems are generally out of control, and it's because we've not taken a stand on the standards given in the Scripture. Because in the Scripture, in Exodus 18:21, it gives us the standards of God, God's standards for electing people into office. It says able men. That means those we need to vote for and elect people that are capable, have competency to serve. Then it says such as fear God. That means people that we vote for and place in office need to reverence God, respect God. Look at God's word as being their final authority and not what they think or feel. Men whose faith directs their focus in what they introduce as legislation or do as a mayor or a city council or a representative or a senator. Able men, such as fear God. Men of truth, it says in Exodus 18:21, means having a reputation for integrity and honesty, reliable men, men that can be counted on and trusted once we put in office, not the loose likes, lost lunatics, as I call them, not the liars, but men that are trustworthy. Here's the key, Exodus 18:21, men that hate covetousness, hating covetousness, that is, men that's not like Joe Biden and his family cabal. Not greedy, not grasping, not looking for profit from their office, not taking bribes from the lobbyist, as we find happening on a local, state, and national level. So, ladies and gentlemen, we are delighted today, privileged today, to have with us a person that is in the position to discuss some of the local candidates and their qualifications, and whether we need to vote for them in office or not. Let's welcome Raymond Johnson, president of Biblical Concepts Ministries, and also actively involved in the campaigns of several of our local legislative and candidates for political office. Welcome to Let's Face the Issues, Raymond. We're delighted to have you. Raymond, are you there?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you now.
Oh, hello. Oh, thank you, Dr. Youngblood. I appreciate you inviting us on today, and it's always a good time to join your program, and I appreciate that.
Well, I'm delighted to have you on. I don't know, and I don't say this to blow smoke in your ears, the old cliche goes, but I don't know if anybody else on the local level with a conservative Christian leaning as you have that's any more closely aligned to having your ear to the street, know what's happening in the political arena on a local and statewide level. And I'm thankful for your knowledge, your wisdom, and how God has been using you for several years in relationship to that. And so thank you for joining us. I know you're busy because you have several candidates that you are trying to assist and carrying out their campaign work. So thank you for doing that. Raymond, I'm witnessing what I believe. Listen carefully, and then I'll ask the question. I'm witnessing what I believe to be the dirtiest campaigns for the office of mayor that I have seen in the 41 years that I've been in Jacksonville. Right now, Daniel Davis is leading the pack financially. Daniel Davis is the lead dog, if you will, in the race for mayor. And Daniel Davis, through his PAC, that's Political Action Committee, spending thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars attacking his opponent. Tell us what you know about this and what you know about the Davis PAC and what your position is in relationship to who, not getting down to the who we should vote for at this time, but something about Daniel Davis and his candidacy. Is it a good? Is he a good candidate? Can we trust what is being said? Are the questions that we need to ask and answer?
That's right. So thanks for that. I tell you what, if I can, what I'd like to do is before I get into just that, let me back up and announce an event tonight that would actually help some candidates the voters rather to be able to meet some candidates. This out there. Tonight, the Stand for Jacksonville, which is a group of conservative Christian businessmen, they are hosting a candidate forum, one tonight and one next Thursday. So tonight at 6:30 p.m. at the Wayside Assembly of God, that's on New Kings Road, Wayside Assembly of God, 10440 New Kings Road, there's a candidate forum hosting candidates for mayor, City Council District 2, 8, 14, and at-large District 5. I don't know what all the exactly who's going to be there. I've been busy and didn't ask the leadership, but you can find that. I know that candidate District 2, so my candidate who I support, Mike Gay, will be there tonight for District 2. That's replacing Councilman Al Ferrero on the north side and some on the Fort Caroline area. So, but you can find that at standforjacks.com. So you can go to the website, standforjacks.com, and get that information there. So that'll help you a little bit. But to get
Raymond, if you would, let me jump in, and I believe it's worth repeating. Give us the church name, the address, and what time the event will be tonight.
Okay, 6:30 p.m., Wayside Assembly of God, and that is 10440. New Kings Road, Wayside Assembly of God, 10440 New Kings Road. And again, you can find all the flyer and all the information on standnumber4jacks.com.
But amen. Well, I recommend that our listeners do that. Now, Daniel, I'm sorry, Raymond, let's get back to the question. Daniel Davis, by the way, just as a point of interest and I reckon you'd say a little footnote on what is being said. Daniel Davis has been wanting to run for mayor for the past 10, 12, 14 years. A number of years ago in a group meeting where he was present, he asked the question about my opinion and thoughts about his running for mayor. I dissuaded him then. I dissuade him now. I think it's a wrong decision for Jacksonville, but that's just me.
Amen. I agree.
Tell us where you stand, what the thoughts are. You have your ear to the ground. You know generally the heartbeat of the populace in the city of Jacksonville on political issues. Tell our listeners something about what you see in the candidacy for Daniel Davis, why it is your opinion that there ought to be a different candidate, et cetera, et cetera. Just take a few minutes
right.
to talk about it.
Amen. That's right. Boy, we could talk for sure the rest of the show on that. So let me remind voters of just what you said. We don't need another mayor that has been groomed and planned to be mayor for the last decade, okay? I was told from the higher-ups on down, all the way back when he left the Florida House of Representatives and became the president of the Chamber of Commerce. That was roughly 10 years ago, something like that. But
he didn't even finish his term. He resigned from the Florida House in order to take the high-paid position with the chamber.
That's right, very high-paying. And I've since found out his $150,000, $200,000 job has turned into a $500,000 job.
$435,000
per year for the last several years. So, I mean, this has made him a millionaire. I know he moved his home from over here off Crystal Springs Road on the west side. He now has a multi-million dollar lot over more like on the river somewhere. I don't know how to tell you, but Ortega area over there where the rest of the country club Republicans are. But at any rate, he was absolutely had planned and with the establishment to be the next mayor after Lenny Curry. That ought to tell you enough right there. You know, we're tired of these pre-anointed folks that's planned. I had heard just recently that even as a small child, as young as just kindergarten or something, that Daniel Davis had said as just a little 5 or 6 year old kid that I want to be governor one day. And there's nothing wrong with that, of course. But there's the ambition has been there for a long time, and he's been, you know, selling out and pulling the maneuvers, not holding the line as a conservative Christian should be. And he is a professing, let me capitalize those words if you can visualize, professing Christian, but zero action or fruit to bear for that.
Let me jump in after you've said that, and let me say this. Daniel Davis is, from my perspective, the sole responsible individual for getting City of Jacksonville the human rights ordinance. I call it a human reprobate ordinance. And
that's
for
right.
those listeners that may not understand that, the HRO, the human rights ordinance, as it is called, gives the perverts, the pedophiles, mm-hmm. and the sexual deviants the right to go in girls and women's locker rooms, shower rooms, bathrooms, without being prosecuted. It is
That's
the
right.
Daniel Davis push that did that, and he claimed as the president of the Chamber of Commerce that the Chamber of Commerce was backing that when the majority of the businesses that were members of the Chamber of Commerce at the time had nothing, no knowledge of it, no authorization given for Daniel to do that. But that's what the power brokers wanted, and he simply carried the water for them. So we have an immoral, ungodly, unholy guidance through the HRO in our city that's there because of Daniel Davis.
Absolutely. And so just before we get to our I know you got your noon break coming. Let me stay on this topic here. So I'd said this once before on your program. I'm going to repeat it again. And every time I have an opportunity for anybody is to remind them, okay, he's president of the Chamber of Commerce. During the debate of the HRO at Mayor Curry's, one of his public circus meetings for supporting the HRO, Daniel Davis was there. I approached him, and I was very specific and strategic to say, hey, I know you're a brother in the Lord. What do you think about this? He very bluntly said, I believe there's a place in corporate America for the HRO.
Raymond, thank you so much mm-hmm. for getting that squeezed in. But we're going to take a one-minute top-of-the-hour break. Be right back right after the news.
From First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.